Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God, like always, is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to speak to us in the heart. When people trust the Lord and they walk in His way, the Lord can do mighty things in their life. Many people look for numbers and for grand. They want things to be grand. And that's not always what God needs. Sometimes God is after people who will take on the things of God and grow in the ways of God. That's always more important to Him. Truth and the love of life. When we love others, that's when we grow. Many times people consider the things Jesus said and they just try to do the best they can, which is good. At least they have a heart to do it God's way now. And they've never been challenged, and in their world, things are pretty good because they make good decisions. Sometimes when people make the best choices, they rise above the snake line. And that's good. That's wonderful. We all want that for our children. When people work hard and they get an education and they learn to do things well, and things fall in place better. They take advantage of the greater opportunities that come their way by God every day. God gives every man good opportunities. But they don't always look like opportunities, but they are. But people who do what's right, because it's right, and they have no ill intent towards others, and they don't create mistrust in the people they love. Living in this life, in this world, with an accuser walking around, accusing everything you do. Sometimes people have a very good, enjoyable life because they make good decisions continually. The problem is, Satan wants to disturb your good life, if that's the case. He wants to bring some form of animosity and drama in your life to disconnect you from God. And if things are going well, and you don't seek the Lord, he don't want to disturb you, because He'd rather for you not to be disturbed and not to trust God either. Always remember, Satan depends on ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of love. He depends on the negativity. So He would love to make everybody as miserable as he can. But when I think about college students, a lot of professors, the way the enemy did it, he wanted the people that teach higher education to be like him. They can be, it doesn't matter what they are, they can anything but a Christian. He's very afraid of Christians. And if you follow the history, Christians were always persecuted by men that love power. I'm going to say that again. Christians were always persecuted by men that love power. When you study the book of Acts, when people started seeking the Lord and the Lord was guiding them by the Holy Spirit, the world lashed out. Now, the religious world were the worst enemies of the apostles. They stirred up everybody else. Everything that was not like God, they stirred it up against the people that could help them the most. A lot of people are neutral about the things of God. As long as they get a good fat meal every day, if they're eating and they live comfortable, they don't always seek the Lord, because they feel like they're doing fine. They don't need it. And they feel like they can do things aside from the ways of God. They don't know what they're missing, and they don't know God yet. So then some are interested in the things of God, and some they weren't looking for them. But here comes people saying that they'll live forever, and they thought they were going to live forever anyway. And in the days of Paul, there was nothing to compare to except for them preaching Jesus, who did many miracles in life. And that was the only thing that would capture their attention, the miracles of Christ that they heard about. And then he rose again. I mean, he ascended in broad daylight before his people. So when they preached that message, there were some that were, they knew that something was wrong in the world, and it didn't satisfy. Some people understood that. And some would have, those that love pleasure, and remember, sin hardens your heart against God. No matter what miracle you see, if you love the world too much, it's hard to get away from it. The enemy is trying to keep Jesus Christ in the background, out of sight and out of mind. And because the Lord has so graciously blessed us and given us all these wonderful miracles and the ability to be healed and authority in the things of God, things that we can undo what Satan has been doing, and we can live a life that shines bright, spiritually speaking. He doesn't want to contend with that because he's outclassed. The least of God's people that will obey him and walk in the way of the Lord, walk according to the word, live his whole life in God's word. Satan is outclassed. He can't match it. And if too many people do it, he'll lose a lot of members of the world system, people that get saved. And then the children that come up in Christian homes, they'll see a greater side of life, and they'll desire it more than the world system. And most people, if they had good parents, good godly parents that prayed for them, it'd be just like the Proverbs. They train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, they won't depart from it. All those things are true, and Satan can't match it. He can't contend with that. So what we have to do is contend for the faith. And we have to do it God's way and become what Satan fears. Not for Satan's sake, but for the sake of those that don't know the Lord yet. Because everybody that has not made Jesus their Savior and Lord, they're missing out on too much. They're missing out on a wonderful relationship. And the Lord will teach you how to rise above the things of the world. And I, like Perry Stone, I like to call it living above the snake line. Now, I mentioned that earlier. Sometimes people make good decisions and things fall in place pretty good, and their life is comfortable. But you can't trust a comfortable life. Some people are one car wreck away from a comfortable life, or one disaster, or one illness, and everything they work hard for is gone. If they never made Jesus their Lord, when they die, they won't be able to go to heaven, and that's not good. And people trust things that they shouldn't, and don't know not to trust. So when we seek the Lord, he will show us how. Jesus said, follow me. He told his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And if we do that, if we actually follow through, we can receive that promise and be blessed by God, and he'll bless us, and we'll go forward in life and not backwards. And he'll show us how to live far above the snake line. And the snake line is on a mountain. Snakes don't go over so high, on a very high mountain. Some species won't pass 6,000 feet, and some 10. But when the elevation's high enough, the air, something makes the snakes uncomfortable, and there's a certain point on that mountain they just don't cross. And what I mean by that is, people who don't have an education and they have many children, they have to get whatever job they can get, and they work long hours for not a lot of money, and their children need things, and then while they're at work all the time, their children are learning things that's wrong in life, because they're usually surrounded by people that's not trying to live. They're not, you know, when there's a lot of idleness of mind, the enemy just has a field day with people. Unmotivation to learn, unmotivation to work, no motivation to learn and work and do the things that's right, no motivation to get to know God. That's just a recipe for drug dealing and all kind of problems, because the only way they'll know to prosper is to do wrong. And it's hard for people to get out of those situations because they live in a very cruel environment. And then there's a lot of gunfire. You may get off work and go home and get killed. So people move away from places like that, and the enemy uses those sin factories to cause more problems. And nobody wants to live around debauchery. Even the people that cause the problems, they don't want to live there either. If they make enough money selling drugs, they're going to move somewhere good. So the enemy does these things systematically to keep things down. Now the people, they don't care about God. They don't care about right or wrong. They're just trying to have fun. Satan's trying to kill, steal, and destroy systematically. And people are not taught about warfare and how to win in life. A lot of churches don't teach about warfare. They leave it to the Pentecostal churches, and the Pentecostal churches have gotten away from it. The things that made us strong in the first place, such as the guidance of the Holy Spirit, people, Pentecostal churches that teach about the Holy Spirit, they don't teach about being guided by it. I hear very few messages, if any, about being guided by the Holy Spirit. Most of them is doing right, living scripturally, and don't go out and bother nobody. How to prosper. But the things that make us very strong, when you read the book of Acts, they went in prayer, and they had a relationship with the Lord. And people try to skip that necessary step. And that's the best part of it. Now, I don't look at prayer as if it's a chore, like stacking bricks. Stacking bricks is a chore. Stacking bricks in the hot sun is a chore. Making bricks in the first place is a chore. It's kind of like mechanic work. That's the kind of job you have to love. You know, some people love to bake. Some people love driving trucks. Some people love mechanic work, carpentry work. All of it is good. But some jobs is a labor, and it take all day. And people that don't have, they can't get a job other places, they do jobs. And they make the best of it. And they're good. It's honorable work. All work is good, as long as it's not doing anybody wrong. And I respect it. I don't look down on a man because of what he does for a living. But prayer is not labor. It's a privilege. Now, there are different types of prayers, of course, but when you spend time with the Lord, I've had some of the best experiences just taking a day and just spending time with the Lord. I try to take time and just enjoy His presence. Sometimes on the weekend when I'm off, I go somewhere quiet and sit down in my recliner. And I might study a scripture I'm interested in just for fun, not ministry, just for fun. And I pray and ask the Lord, talk to Him. Before I go to sleep every night, I talk to Him. I have to be very tired not to pray at all before I go to sleep. But I talk to Him and I listen to what He has to say. And I ask Him questions. That's the backbone of my ministry. When that's out of place, everything else is going to be out of place. Jesus said, if your eye be single, if you love the Lord for who He is, and you desire to know him, and you cherish him, you can grow and you can develop in life. You can go forward and you'll succeed. And you will be blessed in every way of life. And he'll show you what's coming. Now, when he gives you something to do, you have to do it because he said. If you can trust him because you know that he gave you this, and then it's going to work. If he give you a word to bless somebody else, do it. It's going to work. It's going to be good. They're going to be glad you called. They're going to be thankful. Very few people the Lord sent me to with a word rejected it. But most of the time they rejoiced. And he sent me with a word of wisdom. He would send me the word with a word of wisdom to pastors. And some of them were more honorable than others. Some of them received it better than others. Some of them rejoiced. But most of them received the word. And when the Lord gave me a word to send to people and to share with them, it would be helpful. Some people may act like you're just too superstitious and they'll laugh it off. But you can't go by that. When the word gets into it, when a person receives a word in their heart, their mind didn't like their heart. So you can't go by the response. But God won't guide you wrong. And when he gave me a word of warning, it always came true. It was always conditional. I had to give a word to a very good friend of mine that if he didn't stop what he was doing, he'd die. Well, he died, but he waited too late to stop, because before he died, he was trying to get out of the lifestyle. So sometimes the word, even though they don't follow through like they should, maybe they'll get saved, and I hope he did. God loves us. He loves people. Now, people make a big deal out of things. You know, religion makes a big deal out of things. It's not necessary. We need to stay away from sin. But that's something that people have to choose to do. We let them know that it'll kill. And it's not of God. And they'll just have to choose to follow God or not. But whatever they choose, that's what they choose. I'd rather for a man to be, if I can't get everybody to love God and follow the Lord and go to heaven, I at least want to make sure that I warn everybody. So when they go to hell, they'll know that they were warned. They could have avoided it. But once you get there, you ain't getting out. You will have wasted every chance you had of grace that grace gave you, that God tried to give you through his grace. His wonderful, loving grace. But people are missing out because they don't trust the Lord. They don't trust his word as the word of God, and they're after something else. Now, with that being said, remember, God still loves us. He's still trying to help us out. He put many good things in place for you so that you can succeed, and he loves you. He's going to bless you, and he's going to help you. He's not going to do it for you. He'll help you do what you got to do. He reacts to what we do, to our faith. He said, what you push, I push. What you pull, I pull. What you bind, I bind. What you loose, I loose. And he blesses us. Now, it's up to us to do our part so he can do his. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, he's not going to do what we wish he'll do. You're going to get rain, because God give rain to the just and the unjust. You're going to get some rain. And if you don't believe God for anything else, when the rain comes, That's your prosperity. If you have a house, you can plant vegetables. If you cut grass, it's going to make the grass grow, and you're going to be able to go out there and cut grass. If you want to make money, you can make some, because God's going to send you some rain. Now, God's going to see, he gives so many blessings beyond rain, and there are ways to prosper from the rain and the blessings that God provides. He's trying to give you everlasting life. And people throw it away because they don't value it. The same thing, the guidance of God. He's trying to offer you the guidance of God, the best wisdom you could ever use in life. And he'll show you how to direct your life, and he'll take you as far as you want to go, and you can learn whatever you want to learn, and you're not limited. And whatever career choice you want to be blessed in, you can choose to learn it, and he'll bless you in it. You'll have a sellable skill. You can rise above the snake line too. Even if you haven't seen anybody you know do it, you can do it. And when you do things like that, when you finish college and you follow through, then it inspires all of your friends. One of my wonderful friends, he became a pharmacist. And he made a lot more money, and we were all proud of him, because he came from the same neighborhood. We were happy for his success. One of my cousins, he went on to be with the Lord, but he's older than me. He's about 15 or 18 years older than I am. And he said, "I'm glad I stayed in college." He said, "When it got hard, my mama encouraged me, and my parents encouraged me to continue, and I did." And he said, "And when I finished, I started making those big checks." That's how you put it. He said, "I made those big checks. I could take a paycheck and go buy a car." He became an electrical engineer, and he moved out in Texas or either California. He wanted to live where it was sunshine, not much rain. So he got a chance to go where he wanted to go. He got a better job, and he was able to make much more money because he made good choices. If you make the better choices, you get a better life with it, a better future with it, and the Lord knows it. Now, the thing is, even though you may attain measures of success, don't trust that over God. Trust God first. Learn to trust God even though you're doing well, even though you're living a comfortable life. Don't let the comfortable life fool you. Learn God's word. Learn to trust him. And he can cause what you're already doing to multiply. And it's wonderful. You'll love it. You'll be so happy that you went forward in life and not backwards. And I want to see more people follow God, especially now, because the Lord can, if he can train you and guide you, he can help you make the best use of the last few days that we have. And you know, I always talk about how he has to return, and he does. So he can help you make the best use of the time, remaining time that you have, which is not long. He's got to come back. And remember, the closer we get to his return, he's got to act to get people saved. So whatever he put in your heart is very important, and you can do that. If you can trust it, and you can use your faith to do what he said do. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move all throughout your life. Spend time with him. Study the book of Acts and do even better than they did, because the time is short. And he can cause you to do the most necessary things, and it will work. And you'll see your people in heaven. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.